Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Before we begin our cases for this morning, I wanted to announce that Judge Kaney was not able to get to the courthouse today. He will be participating in the decisions of these cases. He will listen to the recordings of the arguments that are made. And I believe we are beginning with our first case, United States against Philip Manabok, where the attorneys will be arguing by telephone. Is that correct? So do we have Mr. Westerfeld and Mr. Blackington on the phone?
Mr. Blackington's here.
Mr. Westerfeld's here, Your Honor.
Excellent. Well, Mr. Westerfeld, we are ready to listen to you then, Judge Posner and I.
May it please the court. First, I want to thank the court for accommodating Mr. Blackington and I, given the weather conditions. The issue presented is, was it reversible error to exclude the original plea agreement of Dustin Coffey when the government introduced an addendum which incorporated that plea agreement into the addendum, and it was the original plea agreement under which Mr. Coffey pled guilty? Mr. Manabok was charged with three conspiracies to distribute methamphetamine, to extort money from his stepson, Johnny Jones, and to possess a firearm in furtherance of drug trafficking.
So Mr. Westerfeld, excuse me, this is Judge Wood. I apologize because I can hardly speak. But I take it the original plea agreement is the one that you've put in your appendix right at the back, starting with A13.
Yes.
So my question for you really is, even if it might have been error to exclude this, why was this harmful? I understand that there was a lot of exploration of bias and incentive to, say things that the government wanted to hear anyway. So why is it harmful?
Your Honor, if you in final argument, we made the position, took the position that each of these cooperating witnesses was in essence trapped and testified against Mr. Manabok to escape that trap. The original plea agreement became a trap for Mr. Coffey. He had negotiated it and had pled guilty pursuant to it. And we believe at the sentencing, at some point, he discovered that the sentencing guideline calculation was incorrect. It was that circumstance and the fact that the plea agreement, the original plea agreement, bound him to the terms of that plea agreement, he could not withdraw from that plea agreement, that led to the addendum where he agreed to testify for the government against Mr. Manabok. That's why it was so pivotal. In the months leading to trial, we had an original plea agreement that Mr. Coffey had entered into, and obviously, something happened that led to this addendum. And the only way in which to demonstrate that Mr. Coffey was, in fact, trapped was to introduce that plea agreement.
Well, but the offense level on the amended agreement was higher, right, by 3 points?
Well, that I believe, Your Honor, is a result of the fact that they learned that the offense level that was actually going to apply under the original plea agreement was going to be higher than the stipulated level that they had entered into in the original plea agreement. So in essence, Mr. Coffey, in that original plea agreement, thought he was getting a level 24 or 25. We believe that at the time of the PSI, as shown in the addendum, that it became apparent that he was going to be subject to a higher offense level, and that's why it became so important to the defense to introduce the original plea agreement to show that Mr. Coffey was trapped, and in order to get him out of that trap, he agreed to this addendum to to testify against Mr. Manabok. More importantly, that addendum got him a sweeter deal. And the only way in which to show that interest was to introduce the actual original plea agreement so that it could be contrasted with the addendum to show that here he was in a trap. And to get out of that trap, he agreed to testify against Mr. Monobach and for the government. The government, in direct examination, had made had presented testimony that the addendum was the only agreement that they had with Mr. Coffey. They presented it, as they often do, to take the sting out of plea agreement or the agreement that the government has with cooperating witnesses.
But if you look at paragraph 1 of the addendum, the first thing it does is mention the earlier plea agreement. So even if you're just talking about the addendum, the original plea agreement is, in a sense, there.
But it isn't in that. Without showing the jury the original plea agreement and showing that Mr. Coffey was trapped, he had already pled guilty under the original plea agreement. He could not withdraw from that, even given the actual correct calculation of the offense level. If you look at, I think it's paragraph 6.
Remind me, did the addendum to the plea agreement go back to the jury, or was it just introduced in evidence?
I believe it went back with the jury.
So I'm just saying that the jury, if they can read, can see in paragraph 1 that there's a plea agreement that was entered into on May 17, a different date, the provisions of which remain in full force and effect except as the addendum changes them. So they knew there was something else, and it's the addendum that contains the material about assistance, right?
But without the original plea agreement, the jury is given the impression that the original plea agreement is nothing more than the addendum. Okay, in other words, that there's really nothing of relevance to Mr. Coffey's credibility in the original plea agreement. And it's our position there was highly relevant material in the original plea agreement to show the interest that Mr. Coffey had and the biases he had, because he was stuck with this original plea agreement, and the only way he could get himself out of that was via the addendum and the agreement to testify. It's a lot like if you have a contract.
Wait, I don't understand. What was so terrible about the original plea agreement compared to the addendum?
Well, the original plea agreement, he was not agreeing to testify, and they had
You keep talking about his having been trapped by the first. By the first plea agreement, and therefore the only way he could have out of his trap was in the addendum to agree to testify for the government. Now, I don't understand. What is the trap that the first plea agreement sprang on him?
Well, if you look at paragraph 3 of the original plea agreement on page 2 and 3, the parties had entered into sentencing guideline stipulations. However, the
stipulations now, where's the trap? Look, I don't follow you. What is the trap? What's the trap?
He could not withdraw from the original plea agreement.
So what? I don't understand. What? If you sign a plea agreement, you know, you're stuck. You've signed it. So what's
exactly?
Well,
he signed it. He was stuck with this original plea agreement, and the only way he could extract himself as that was by agreeing to testify via the addendum.
Well, what is it he wanted to? What did the addendum extract him from? How did the addendum benefit him?
Well, it benefits him by because he gets three levels for testifying for the government, which brings him back to the guideline level that was calculated under the original plea agreement.
Well, you're just saying he got a benefit from testifying, which we all know. Why is that a surprise? Of course you get a benefit from testifying. It's the whole point of testifying. So what's the problem? I don't know. He's given a break because he testified for the government. That's the whole point.
But he's given more than just a break in the level. He gets out of a plea agreement, the original plea agreement.
He doesn't get out of a plea agreement. He's still pleading guilty, and he's still going to be punished. It's just that he's not punished as severely because he's testifying for the government. That's all that's involved. Everyone, right? Who cares whether it's two agreements or 20 agreements? He gets a break because he testifies for the government. You argue, well, he's probably lying because he just wants the break. I don't see how that argument is affected by the first plea agreement.
Without the ability to contrast the addendum, you can't show that this person was in a desperate situation when he pled guilty and found out that his guideline level was going to be higher than he thought it was under the original plea agreement. Thank you, Your Honor. We would ask the court to reverse Mr. Monobach's conviction and order a new trial.
Thank you, Mr. Westerfeld. Mr. Blackington?
Yes, and I'd like to thank the court as well for accommodating us. The roads were atrocious yesterday. I think that where we start out here is under the Iroko case. This court noted that there's no Sixth Amendment violation for a limitation that a trial court imposes for cross-examination, as long as adequate information is conveyed to the jury that would allow the jury to assess the witness's possible bias. And as the court noted, Mr. Westerfeld did in his first argument here, there are really two things that he got in the addendum that he didn't get in the first plea agreement. One was a 5K motion. The other was a promise of use immunity for offenses that he committed. Once that addendum was introduced, both of those benefits were conveyed in the addendum, and the addendum was introduced, and the defense had ample opportunity to cross-examine him for bias on the 5K motion, as well as the promise of use immunity, and defense counsel did so. So I don't see any error that the court committed by excluding that first plea agreement. I think if the court would have allowed cross-examination on the first plea agreement, we would have just gotten into a whole bunch of collateral issues.
I don't even understand that, Mr. Blackington. Putting to one side whether this is all a tempest in a teapot, looking at this first plea agreement, I was mystified that the government was fighting so hard not to have it introduced. It looked very routine to me.
It is pretty routine. I just, my concern was we'd get down a road of impeaching about collateral matters.
Like what collateral matters? I mean, this is just standard stuff. There's an appellate waiver. There's a description of the two crimes that he's going to plead guilty to. He acknowledges that the court will decide on the sentence. So it's not a subpart C sentence. There's a little bit of stuff about financial information, some stipulations about the guidelines, and then bam, everybody signs it. So you create an appellate issue by fighting to the death to keep this plea agreement out.
Well, I don't know that I fought to the death. I objected to it. I thought lines of questioning about what his sentencing guidelines calculations were agreed to, in the first plea agreement versus the second plea agreement would create some confusion in the jury. Mainly, how did he go from a stipulated range of 24 in the original plea agreement, to 28 in the addendum? That was the collateral issue I saw, and I didn't see it as a major issue. And I think very candidly, the court's right that if I realized this was going to be an appellate issue, I would have just, and I had to do it over again, I would have said, go ahead and admit it. It isn't the collateral issues that could have been raised, as the court noted, aren't huge. But I do think they were collateral and the objection was proper.
Now, it seems to me that the district court would not have had any trouble managing whatever little bit of confusion there was about a 25 versus a 28, since it was all up to the district judge anyway. But be that as it may, here we are.
I think you're right. Absolutely. So with that, being by phone, I don't have any other issues that I'd like to argue, and I don't see much in using much utility in using the rest of my time, but if the court has any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
Neither one of the two of us do, and so we will assume that is enough for purposes of this record. So we thank you, Mr. Blackington. Mr. Westerfeld, you used all of your time, so we thank you as well, and we all hope sincerely that the weather takes a better turn very quickly, so the case will be taken under advisement.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Our second case for this morning is Penn.